Chapter 15. Amreel and I turned to see Dular, the former mayor of Takfet, behind us. The short orcish man looked a little rumpled, in a wrinkled linen shirt and loose cloth pants tucked into soft leather boots. His wide jaw was covered in yellow stubble, and so was his head, but the orc's long tusks that thrust up from his lower jaw were capped with ornate silver bands, so I got the impression Dular did not usually look so slovenly.
"Who are you two?"
the orc asked as he leveled his yellow eyes at us. "A friend of a friend," I replied in my own accent. "Zuag asked me to deliver that note."
"Are you aware of its contents, goblin?"
Dular asked with a raised eyebrow. Since he called me goblin, I could guess part of the orc captain's message. "I'm not in the habit of reading other people's letters," I said.
"Zuag said you're here to restore order,"
the intense orcish man rumbled as he walked up to meet us.
"I trust Zuag like a brother, so if he trusts you, then I trust you as well."
"That's good to know," I said as I looked Dular in the eyes and wondered if the man ever blinked. "Can you come with us? We've a camp not far away, and I'd like to ask you some questions about how many men Igurg has and how the people of Takfet feel about them."
"It would draw attention if I'm gone for too long."
The old mayor shook his head.
"But I can tell you that I'm with you. Whatever you have planned, I may not like elven rule, but to trade one tyrant for another is madness, and most of my people feel the same way. However, it's hard to give you an exact number for soldiers in town. They come and go throughout the day. It's usually somewhere between 2 and 3 dozen.
"Fuck me." "Okay," I said as I tried to sound more confident than I felt at the moment. "If you want to help, talk with some people you know you can trust, and have them be ready to either fight or get people out of town when the fighting starts. But I'm hoping it doesn't come to that."
"Very well," Dular replied in a grave voice. "I've also questioned the resolve of some of Igurg's men. You may be able to persuade some of them to abandon his cause. But first, you'll have to prove you're stronger than the war chief. Orcs follow power and strength."
"That's really helpful," I nodded as I thought about the rifle by my side. "Thank you, Dular. We'll be back before long." The mayor gave us a curt nod and turned back toward Takfet. Amreel and I walked the rest of the way to camp, but I made sure to keep an eye out behind us. I didn't think we'd raise the suspicion of any of Igurg's soldiers, but it was best to be cautious. By the time we got back, my soldiers had the camp all put together and in good order, which made me smile. Then I found my friends around a fire in the center of the tent circle, and we sat down with them.
"How did it go?"
Nilame asked. "Okay, I'm pretty sure," I said. "I'd like to get everyone together and talk about what we're going to do next."
"I'll gather them,"
Bukoth replied as he stood and stepped away from the pot that bubbled over the fire.
"Scourge, be a good lad and stir the stew so the bottom doesn't burn."
"I'm not one of your soldiers,"
the dark-skinned man shot back, but he picked up the ladle to stir anyway.
"You can't order me around, General. But alas, I do hate burned stew."
Once everyone was gathered around the fire, I stood and addressed the company. "I've good news and bad news," I started as I looked at each of them in turn. "The bad news is that we're outnumbered, but we knew we would be coming into this. The good news is Nilame and I have our rifles, and that helps even the playing field. And it seems at least some of the townspeople are on our side. But we'll have to be really smart about how we do this, because I don't want any of the people of Takfet getting hurt if we can help it."
"What do you propose, brave leader?"
Scourge asked as he handed the ladle back to the Mohawk general. "Well," I said as I looked at Amreel and Nilame, because I knew they weren't going to like what I had to say next. "I think I should go in alone and try to talk to Igurg first."
"No,"
Amreel immediately said in a flat tone, and she shook her head.
"Why alone?"
Nilame asked with a concerned look on her beautiful face.
"I will follow whatever plan you decide on," Bukoth said carefully. "But why did we bring a fighting force if the plan is to talk it out? Do you even know if the warlord will listen?"
"I spoke to Dular," I said as I laid out my thoughts, "and he told me that orcs follow strength. I want to show Igurg that I'm not afraid of him, but I also want his men to hear what the other options are before we start a fight right in the middle of town."
"It's a crazy plan,"
Scourge mused as he leaned back on his elbows.
"But it's very clever, too. Win some hearts and minds. Plant a seed of doubt in his soldiers."
"What about the rest of us?"
Errolor asked as he adjusted his broad frame and set his pole arm across his lap.
What do you want us to do?
I want you all to hide in twos and threes outside of the village, I replied as I squared my shoulders. If and when the fighting starts, I want all of you to come up the center of the street and into the square. Then keep the main force back as Nylame and I pick them off with our rifles.
As you command, shield brother,
Tharius said in her rich voice. Nylame, I turned to the princess. Have the watches been set up yet?
Yes, Eddie.
The dark-haired woman nodded. Great. I smiled as I turned back to my soldiers. Then I want everyone to get some rest, and we'll move out in 8 hours. As the soldiers went about their business or retired to their tents, I sat down between Amrila and Nylame. My wife looked over at me, then at the Dolrath princess, and then made a show of a giant stretch and yawn.
Well,
Amrila said in an overdone sleepy voice.
I'll take a spot on the second watch, but I think I'll turn in and get some sleep first.
I shot a confused look at the Zinkari woman, but she just winked at me and headed toward a tent. When I turned back to look at the rest of my friends gathered around the campfire, Scourge suddenly jumped to his feet too.
I'm on third watch, he said as he stretched his back out, but I do need my beauty rest.
Then I saw Scourge deliberately kick Bakoth in the leg as he sat next to the boiling pot of stew, and the general looked up at him with an annoyed expression. Something passed between the two of them, and then the red-haired warrior looked at Nylame and I sitting together.
Oh!
Bakoth gave an embarrassed cough and also stood.
I should probably see the first watch, if you both will excuse me.
The general took a heavy cloth and wrapped it around the handle of the pot before he lifted it off the fire and set it on the ground to cool. Then the two men left in different directions, and I found myself alone with the princess.
Our friends are not at all subtle,
Nylame said in her quiet voice as she watched the others leave. No, I grinned and turned to look deep into the dark-haired woman's blue eyes. They're not, but I'm not complaining.
Neither am I.
The muscular warrior woman smirked as she boldly rested a hand on my upper thigh.
And I do not want to let this chance go to waste. Will you come to my tent, Eddie Hill?
I could feel as the blood in me started to rush into my core, and the strange magnetic pull I felt toward the fierce warrior woman was stronger than ever. Yes, I will, I rumbled. The two of us stood before Nylame led me to her tent, and I watched the sway of her hips and her firm, round ass as the dark-haired princess walked in front of me. If any of the soldiers saw us enter the tent together, they had the good grace not to say anything about it. And once the tent flap closed behind us, Nylame and I grabbed one another and crashed together in a rough embrace. Our mouths met in a fierce kiss, and her wet tongue slid and moved against mine as my hands moved up her back and into the heavy wealth of her thick, dark hair. The Dolrath woman's arms wrapped around me as she pressed her body against mine, and her strength almost matched my own. Then we broke apart, but with our eyes locked on each other's, as we deliberately began to remove each piece of armor and clothing. There was something crazy hot about how Nylame expertly pulled at the straps that held her beetle-shell armor in place, and I watched as she revealed herself to me with each piece of armor that hit the floor of the tent. It was all I could do to focus enough to unbuckle the straps on my breastplate, but I could tell she enjoyed the slow reveal of my body, too. Once her boots, bracers, and greaves were off, Nylame was able to get to the good stuff. With three quick movements, the princess's breastplate fell away, and I was able to see her large, pale blue breasts and soft nipples that floated above her firm six-pack abs. Fuck, you're beautiful. I pulled off the t-shirt I wore under my breastplate and exposed a six-pack of my own and my strong pectoral muscles. Adventures in the gloom and training sessions with Amrila had hardened my muscles, and I was in better shape now than I'd even been in high school. Nylame bit her lower lip as she looked at me, and started to undo the straps of the final piece of armor over her pubic area. As that too hit the ground, I could see the perfectly smooth, hairless lips of her pussy, and I groaned with desire.
Now it's your turn.
Nylame purred as she ran her strong hands across her bare skin to tease me. Yes, ma'am. I grinned as I undid the closure of my Dolrath-style pants and let them fall to the ground. My erection throbbed once it was freed, and Nylame smiled as she looked down.
Is there anything about you that isn't perfect?
Before I could answer, the princess stepped forward again for a long, wet kiss, and then she started to stroke me. I wrapped my hands around her supple ass and squeezed hard, because everything about the change in Nylame's usual mild demeanor told me I didn't need to be gentle.
This was the secret side of the stoic warrior woman only I got to see.
How I have wanted you.
The dark-haired woman moaned, and her voice vibrated with desire.
Every time I see you, my womanhood grows wet and ready to receive you.
I've wanted you so badly, Nyla May. I rumbled as I deftly pushed my fingers past the folds of her cleft and found her clit slick with her inner juices. You're like a magnet, and I couldn't help but be drawn to you.
Ibsith said that you can do something wonderful with your mouth.
The princess breathed as her hand continued to move up and down my cock.
Will you show me?
Of course, I had to oblige the woman. I started to lower myself onto my knees and stopped only long enough to kiss both of her sweet, pink nipples, which stood erect from the graze of my tongue. Then I put my hands on either side of Nyla May's shapely hips and drew her moist, smooth pussy toward my eager mouth. I wanted to taste her so fucking badly, and as I playfully flicked my tongue against the button of her clit, the princess's legs almost buckled. She moaned with a note of surprise.
Oh, Eddie.
You're not allowed to lay down until you come for me. I growled as I pushed my face against her hairless mound, and then I started to suck and lick. I greedily lapped up her sweet juices as I reveled in the glorious fragrance of her skin. Nyla May's legs trembled as I mercilessly ate her out, but then the warrior woman locked her knees and stood firm.
I dare you to make me fall to the ground before I come.
Challenge accepted. I started to suck her clit and moved the tip of my tongue in tiny circles, and then I slipped a single finger into the wet, tight channel and began to slowly move in and out.
Oh, God.
Nyla May mewled.
Oh, that feels so good. Oh, you're a magician.
I smirked against her folds and then slipped another finger up inside of the princess as I moved my hand faster. Nyla May hissed as her legs began to tremble again, and I felt the muscles of her pussy begin to clench with surprising force.
I feel something happening. Eddie, I've never felt like this before.
Then a warm gush of juices flooded into my mouth and down my hand and announced Nyla May's orgasm. The warrior woman's knees gave way like a puppet with its strings cut, and I caught her before I guided her to the ground with me. Nyla May's breathing was hard, but there was a beautiful glow on her face as she discovered something new.
I've never had that happen before,
the dark-haired woman confessed.
Is that what it is to climax?
Yeah, I grinned. If you like that, then I think you'll love what comes next.
Yes, Eddie,
the princess said as she slipped her hands onto my shoulders and straddled herself across my naked lap.
I want you inside me. I crave you. Let me feel you.
Nyla May raised her hips, and I guided my throbbing erection inside of the tight, slick tunnel between her muscular thighs. The Dolrath princess called out with delight as she felt me push inside of her for the first time. I moaned as her hips instinctively began to move back and forth, and I buried my face into her magnificent breasts. Fuck, you're natural, Nyla May. Oh, shit, you fuck so good. As the two of us moved against one another, I took hold of Nyla May's ample hips, and we started to grind together with so much force that I thought we'd both come away with bruises. But the pain and pleasure mixed together and heightened every one of my senses, and the warrior woman's powerful ass and thighs made her inexhaustible. Nyla May keened as she threw her head back in ecstasy.
It's like you were made to fit inside me. Make me climax again, Eddie, please.
Yes. I thrust myself balls deep inside of the dark-haired woman's channel as she squealed with delight, and then I jackhammered my hips against her. I could already feel the pressure beginning to build inside of me, and I desperately wanted to come inside of the princess's tight pussy. But I refused to release my seed until I'd satisfied her one more time. Nyla May panted in time with my powerful thrusts. I could feel that she was close again, so I suddenly stopped balls deep inside the warrior woman to tease her a little longer.
Oh, no!
Nyla May whined as she lifted her hips and began to piston them against me.
I can feel how hard your manhood is. We are both so close. Don't stop.
As Nyla May's hips rocked back and forth, my dick slid in and out of her, and it felt too good to stop. I started to thrust again, and it was all I could do not to explode inside of her.
Ugh.
I groaned. I can feel it. You're so close.
I am.
She whined.
Are you?
Yeah. I growled. Do you want...
Inside me.
She panted.
I want to be yours, Eddie. Finish inside of me. Fill me up with your seed.
Then come for me. I growled again. Come for me and I'll give you what you want. I'll fill you up.
Yes!
Nyla May mewled as she seized up around me like a vice, and she came so hard I could feel her squirt against my balls as I pressed inside her. Fuck, Nyla May. I growled as my cock started to throb, and I shoved as deep as I could get inside her. Then my cum sprayed into her accepting womb as she cried out my name. Stars exploded in my vision while I climaxed, and my ears rang as I bucked my hips several more times to force my cream deeper into her. But then Nyla May started to whine with oversensitivity, so I pulled out, fell down on the ground next to the dark-haired woman, and pulled her close.
Your seed is warm and full inside me,
she whispered.
It's in my womb. I hope that it will find fertile soil there.
I do too. I purred in her ear.
I will give you strong warrior children, Eddie Hill. This I promise you.
I know you will, I said as I traced my fingers across her cheek.
The climaxes you gave me were incredible,
she muttered.
Just, I have never felt such pleasure.
I can't believe you never orgasmed before, I chuckled. Not even by yourself?
I spent my childhood training to take my mother's place one day,
Nyla May said as she glowed with contentment.
There was never the time to explore.
We'll have to make more time. I grinned at the princess and pressed a kiss to her forehead. And make sure we explore until we run out of ideas.
Yes, please.
Nyla May snuggled against me, and we eventually fell asleep in each other's arms, until Bakoth discreetly tapped on the outside of the tent to tell me the third watch was over. Nyla May and I took a moment to get dressed again, and that wasn't nearly as fun as getting undressed had been, but we stole several passionate kisses to make up for it. When we finally stepped out of the tent, the whole company waited for us, but thankfully they were all professional enough to act as if there wasn't anything strange about me stepping out of Nyla May's tent. Although I was pretty sure they had all heard us, we'd gotten so caught up in the moment that we hadn't exactly been quiet. The only one who acknowledged that anything had happened was Amrila, who gave me a sly little wink. I smiled at my saucy Zinkari wife, and then I got down to business. Don't bother to break down the camp, I told the soldiers. The extra gear will just slow us down. I'll go into town first. Don't come after me until you hear two or more rifle shots. Have your protection at the ready. Any questions?
No shield, brother!
The company said in unison. As the soldiers saluted, Growler and Dread howled with them, and I felt a spark light somewhere in my chest. My two garms padded up and sat on either side of me, and as I looked at the two white dogs with their red ears, I felt like we'd all become part of a pack. Now, we were ready to face whatever happened next together. You have your orders, I said to my friends in the company, and then I turned and headed to Tak Fet with Growler and Dread by my side. As I got close to the town, I didn't bother to put my hood up. I threw my cloak over my shoulders so everyone could see my dwarven breastplate and the galil. I wanted Igerg's men to see the vampire of the gloom. The dogs didn't run ahead or engage in playful antics as we walked. Instead, they strode next to me, and their body language communicated the same resolve I felt. I even noticed that Dread's limp was gone. Then I reached Tak Fet, so I took long strides to draw attention to my size, and I kept my eyes firmly ahead as I passed orcish soldiers and townspeople alike. Once I was in the public square, I locked eyes on the huge wooden building in front of me. If I knew anything about the gloom, it was that the biggest buildings were always where the most powerful people are, so this had to be the meeting house where Igerg had set up shop. A crowd of people had started to gather in the square to gawk at me, and I intentionally made a spectacle of myself. When I reached the edge of the town square just opposite the meeting house, I put on my pro X's and aimed the galil over the rooftops of the village building where I knew a bullet would sail over the populated area before it descended and ricocheted off a stone wall of the cave. It wasn't the gold standard of gun safety, but I needed a show of strength that could halt this orc army. Igerg! I shouted at the top of my lungs at the front of the meeting house. I'm Eddie Hill, king of the Tektris Forest and vampire of the gloom, and I demand you speak with me! And then I fired the galil for punctuation. The shot echoed off the cavern ceiling and walls, and out of the corner of my eye, I could see villagers as they covered their ears and ran from the square. The orc soldiers didn't run, but they didn't dare to rush me either, even though there were at least a dozen of them in the square, and two posted up by the door of the meeting house. I could have been less dramatic and just gone up to the meeting house and tried to have a civil conversation, but that wouldn't have been a show of power. Plus, I wanted to draw Igerg outside and talk to him where the whole town could hear us. I guess I wanted a public debate. It was like Skurd said, I wanted the hearts and minds of the people with me. A moment later, the door of the house flew open, and an orc in a fur-lined coat and leather armor studded with metal rivets strode out, flanked by at least 20 soldiers. Igerg wasn't the biggest or most muscular orc I'd ever seen, but his presence radiated out like a cloud around him. His thick, black beard hung in braids that almost reached the sword belt around his thick waist, and his beetle-black eyes bored into mine with a red-hot glare. But I refused to blink, and even my garms must have sensed it, because they began to growl.
"What is the meaning of this?"
The orc I assumed was Igerg demanded as he stopped about 3 yards in front of me. I was very aware of the fact that I was now surrounded by the orc soldiers, but I stood tall and towered over almost all of them. "I've come to speak with you about your current campaign of conquest," I said with a cocky grin.
"Have you now?"
the bearded orc asked as he looked me up and down.
"I assume you've come to join me and take down the tyrannical elves once and for all."
"Not exactly." I shook my head and made sure to speak loudly enough for my voice to carry. "I've come because I think you should stop terrorizing the Karardu territory and join me in the fight against Ursinger. Ursinger's the real threat to the gloom right now, and whatever grievances you have with Murdrak can be sorted out afterwards."
"No,"
Igerg arrogantly laughed.
"All elves are cut from the same cloth. They think they're so fine, high above the rest of us. It's time to end their reign. If Murdrak does not have the strength to hold on to his lands, then I'll gladly take them away from him."
"And if Ursinger raises a demon army to destroy life in the gloom while you're busy playing King of the Hill?" I asked with a raised eyebrow. "What then?"
"Then we'll fight the demons."
The warlord puffed out his chest, but I could see the fearful look in some of the men's eyes behind him. Clearly, they weren't as eager to fight a demon army. "Have you ever fought a demon, Igerg?" I asked as I casually glanced at the ground and toyed with the butt of my rifle before I looked back up at him. "Because I have. I'm sure you've heard stories about old Galil here and what she can do, even with magical bullets forged by dwarves, a small army, and my magic torch here. It was a tough fight, and that was only one lesser demon." I flashed the light on my Galil at the wannabe chief, and he and the men behind him had to cover their eyes.
"Do not try to enchant me with words and simple tricks, sorcerer,"
Igerg shouted as he started to lose his cool.
"Night Elf dominion ends now. A new age of orc is at hand, and I'll be their king and father. You can either join us or die."
"I'm not going to take up arms against the Karardu, the Dolrath, or any Yinni that has nothing to do with Ursinger's vile dealing with demon lords," I said as I shook my head. "And I really don't care who runs the gloom. Orcs, elves, it makes no difference to me. Hell, maybe you should all give the gnomes a go. They have some of the best organized farmsteads I've ever seen. I just don't want to trade one tyrant for another. You feel me?" Igerg's chest rose and fell with his heavy breaths as his face started to go red. But there were murmurs in the crowd around me, and I could hear one orc say something about dying for the chief's vanity behind me, and I knew I'd struck a nerve.
"Gods!" Igerg shouted. "Seize the vampire!"
"Not today," I smirked. Then I pointed my Galil at the warlord and fired a second shot to call in my soldiers.